WFNC. Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media Station. ESPN.
ESPN.
97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 with one in the books and two to go. We're putting together a pretty solid show. And before the break, we were talking about your Houston Rockets and the fact that the Rockets are rolling, by the way, putting together one of their best starts ever in franchise history now, still without 10 losses, which is the barometer for how many wins can you get before you hit the 10-loss mark. And Mario and I were talking about it on Friday. I'd pulled up some documentation and was looking at the numbers there. You look at what they've been able to do, and it's getting close to that 93-94 season, and just one or two other seasons in terms of the start, the amount of wins before 10. 31 is the benchmark for the best start ever in Rockets history. 31 wins before you hit the 10-loss mark. And right now, going into tonight's game,
27.
So yeah. The fact of the matter is they are heading in some sacred territory, and they're doing it night in, night out with not just James Harden. However, I do say this, James Harden now, in my mind too, has surpassed Russell Westbrook at the present day and time as we speak as the leading candidate for MVP. Westbrook had one of those games where everybody says, look, if he averages a triple-double for the year, you got to give it to him. I don't know if you have to give it to him because, look, I look at criteria. We keep talking about no one really knows the official criteria for an MVP or, you know, any kind of Player of the Year type awards or Hall of Fames. But what we do know is Curry got it over Harden 2 years ago when Curry not only did it individually, but they said he did more to help his team and his team made the playoffs and went farther. Therefore, that was more valuable than just James doing it and literally they thought he didn't get as much help. All right, that was the knock. This year, if it comes down to those two guys, Harden clearly has a better team. He's doing more to help his team win. And Westbrook had got thrown out of a game recently where he had zero rebounds or zero assists, but they said that's going to really take its toll on him averaging a triple-double for the year. I don't know how you look at criteria, but I'm looking at the body of work, the astronomical numbers he put up in a single game against the Knicks and things that hadn't been done in how long, just like Westbrook they were talking about when he put together that stretch that hadn't been done in like 24 years. I think right now James is the leader in the clubhouse because of the fact that twofold, he's not only doing it for himself individually with statistics, but he is the, you can't say sole reason, but he is the main reason why this team is better because he's allowing them to be, he's trusting his teammates. He is getting the assist because he is feeling confident enough to pass that his guys are going to make shots. And again, they're winning games. So I think right now he's surpassed Westbrook.
Okay. I think so as well. I mean, to me, if your team isn't competing for a playoff or, you know, if you're the ninth, eighth seed somewhere in there, which I think right now Oklahoma's like sixth or seventh, mm-hmm. Versus a team that's 3.5 back from the number one spot, playing as well as the Rockets are playing. I mean, to me, Westbrook is putting up gaudy numbers, but I think James, the way he's playing, the way he's getting all of his teammates involved, because let's face it, Eric Gordon and, you know, all of these guys, Trevor Ariza, all these guys that are shooting as well as they're shooting, that's because of what James Harden is doing on the court night in and night out. He's creating those open looks for those guys. This offense is creating them, but he's the catalyst for all of that. And so I think he deserves a lot more credit because, you know, there's nights where he will take over in scoring, but there's nights where he'll just be the distributor, where he will be the catalyst for the rest of these guys to go off.
Also look at some of those losses that they have had, and there haven't been many, but when the shots haven't been falling, and watch how those games end. It's James reverting to the old James.
Yep.
Guys weren't making shots. He was still making the passes. He got frustrated, became that dribble, dribble, dribble. I'm going to go 1-4 flat isolation, all me, turned it over too much, and it cost him. He reverted back when the shooters weren't making shots and they were having problems. That's why I said, as long as Pat Beverly and Trevor are afterthoughts on offense and they're focused on defense first and then they just get spot up uncontested threes, they're head and shoulders a better team. And this is why you give so much credit to the acquisitions of Gordon, Anderson, and a rejuvenated, healthy Sam Decker. guys that have come in and been able to contribute. It's allowed James to have confidence in his team again, where last year he just got so frustrated with guys not being able to make shots. And when I do kick it out, it's Corey Brewer guys with contested looks that weren't making threes. So I'm just going to have to do it myself. And that's where they slipped up. He had problems. They had problems. They didn't win enough games.
I mean, Ariza is probably your fourth best shooter from the three-point line on this team, whereas last year he was the second. Like, he was the after James, you had to look to Trevor Ariza to knock down a three if that was your game.
It was Pat Beverly when he was healthy because those were the guys that he was left with on the floor and the other guys couldn't shoot.
How many times did you guys pull your hair out because you had Corey Brewer shooting a corner three and not even being close? I'm like, I could make more than 20%.
Even when they're winning, I'm watching these games and Bruce still pulling the three. And it ain't even close.
I think they're just trying to keep him active, keep his mind right.
They're trying.
It's like giving a crossword puzzle to an 80-year-old. Here, just see if you can get one word so you don't get dementia. Otherwise, just stay out of the way.
Yeah, you're also, it's like one of those deals where you consistently are going to the dumpster trying to find a meal, and all of a sudden one day you find a full pizza.
Yeah,
that's what you're hoping for with Corey Brewer. That if you go to the dumpster enough, hopefully one day you're going to come up with gold, and he's going
to
have
a couple.
He's going to start making some shots, and then oh by the way, he becomes trade bait, which is what they're hoping for because they hope somebody is interested enough to try and move him.
So we've talked about all the good news, and I know we have a caller, and I want to get to him. Yep. But I guess I'll just tease this until after the call.
Okay.
But there's some bad news in this Rockets team and what they've done thus far. But
you're talking about the CEO and the general manager?
No. Oh. I'm talking about the Rockets as a team.
Okay, by the way,
James
Harden also named Western Conference Player of the Month for December, where he averaged 28, 12, and 9 rebounds. So he needs to up the boards a little bit, but he's right there. And again, when you start looking at postseason awards, a lot is dictated by Players of the Week and Players of the Month awards. James off to a pretty good start. Won a couple of Players of the Week already. Now he's won Player of the Month. He's doing some things, gang.
Well, Jed disagrees with us. He said he won't win because he plays no defense. Well, he didn't play much
Jed,
defense.
Jed, you can hang your hat on that last year, but you can look at it a little differently. Barry's the numbers guy. Barry's already put the numbers in front of you as well. If you look at him play as a whole, as a unit, night in, night out, they're playing better defense than you.
Yeah, if you watch, I mean, he's putting forth a much better effort. It's not as gross as it was before.
Right.
You watch it. Yeah, I mean, he gets burned. He's never going to be a great defensive player.
Oh, he quit.
But the thing is, the difference is effort. When you, as long as he's putting forth effort, he'll be okay. And that's all
but
you
need.
But
here's the other difference. It's the team defense around him. Because they know when he does get beat, they collapse behind him from the weak side, and they shut down the middle, they shut down a penetrator, and they make sure that they help, which is what help defense is all about. They're getting more of that. It's not, let's watch James get isolated and made a fool of because he quit. He's getting help and support when they know he's carrying such a load on offense. Sometimes he just needs to catch his wind, too. So you can blame a lot of things, but right now I'm not going to blame the defense. Mm-hmm. RJ, you've been waiting a while from Humble. Want to talk about the Rockets. What's up, man? Happy New Year.
Thank you, fellas. Hey, I got a question. I want to know if it's the player personnel or actually the lack of with Dwight Howard gone, or is it the coaching staff with Antoni, and I call him Antoni, not D'Antoni because he has no D. But I want to know what you guys think.
Stop stealing my lines. I said the only D that Mike D'Antoni's ever known is the one in his last name when he got hired, but...
They are doing better.
Yeah, no. And here's the thing. I don't think any of us knew how right the system was for James Harden, but we had an indication because you looked at what Steve Nash did in Phoenix. But Steve Nash was a traditional point guard from the standpoint that he always had the ball in his hands. Now you take a guy that, in an unconventional way, always had the ball in his hands, but now he's been put into a system which is tailor-made for him to have the ball in his hands as long as he can do things with it other than just shoot it himself, and he's been able to be effective. So I give the system and D'Antoni as much credit as anybody or anything. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, I agree. The move to put the ball in Harden's hands as a point guard, I think, was smart. And you hear it all the time on the broadcast. You hear Matt Bullard raving about the plays that D'Antoni draws up and that he calls and that he has. And he labels him as a genius. And I don't know enough about designing plays to be able to say yes or no.
Well, but if you're an offensive coordinator...
But I can tell you right now, whatever it is, it's effective.
If you're an offensive coordinator for USA Basketball... You obviously know that side of the ball. And give the guy credit for saying, if defense is my weakness or I don't have experience...
He went out and got good coaching.
He went out and got a coach that can focus on defense. And it takes a lot of stress off of him. He doesn't have to worry about both ends of the floor.
And
he just worries about how they're going to score.
And what you notice most in games is You don't see guys going over there and talking offense with D'Antoni.
Right.
Well, look at most of the time what they're doing. They're talking defense.
The end of the huddle
themselves and with the coaches.
The end of the huddle starts with Bezdelic to talk about defense, and then to Barry's point, which is a good one, and you got to be savvy to watch this on the video. Then they start talking amongst themselves. Who's switching and when? Who's coming over on the help side? What they have to be aware of. That's why I'm saying that Dallas game showed us something that we might not have known, but it'll go a long way to how far they go as a team. They are together, both on and off the floor, and they are dialed in, which we've seen between punching young guys in the nuts on the bench and just worried about how many touches they get as opposed to how many wins they attain, that things are different from years past, and that's a huge feather in the cap of the Houston Rockets. So it'll be fun to see how they continue to progress now that we entered the new year. And with more and more games under their belt, they continue to solidify the three. And like you said, they got one and two in their sights, which is something you didn't expect. So, RJ, good call. We appreciate you joining in and chiming in. We can get to a little bit more of your call on the flip side if there was anything we missed. Otherwise, you can feel free to join us, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Mr. Clean Jeans and Quick Nick, as we head till 4 o'clock, we already covered the cleaning of the jeans in the new year as something to start the clean and fresh version of 2017.
You know, I'm getting mocked here. I'm getting mocked on Facebook. I'm getting mocked on Twitter. Because I said it a couple different places. This is the annual washing of the jeans.
Yep.
But then I said it was The Gap who said that. That's actually not true. I found the link, and I'll tweet it if anyone cares, which I'm guessing they don't. But it was the CEO of Levi's that said you should never wash your jeans.
Wow.
Yeah, I heard
that.
Yeah. I would have never thought.
Rarely, not frequently, but I never heard never.
I'm tweeting it right now.
Here's my deal. It's just that it's so hard to wash jeans and keep them in the same condition. I have the same problem where if I wash jeans, they kind of shrink.
Yeah.
You still wore yours, though. I throw mine away.
What?
Yeah, I'm not going to wear like a tighter.
You throw your jeans away?
Yeah, if they're like tighter. If the sizes change.
I've seen friends of mine do it just as, not as much as females, but I've seen friends of mine that after you wash jeans, you just have to put them on and kind of do the catcher's position and stretch them out a little bit, and then they go back to the shape.
I have a fit. I gotta have my, I just gotta have a good fit.
So do you not wash your jeans?
I do, but not as occasionally as I guess the average person would.
Frequently, you mean?
Yeah, or frequently.
Yeah?
But yeah.
So do you dry them, though? See, that's the thing, man. If you dry them, you shrink your jeans, it's over. Unless you buy a size bigger.
Drying creates the shrinkage that you don't want other than the actual shrinkage you
I
don't
dry
want.
Them. I'm not trying to dry them.
You buy the jeans. When you go to the store, put on the exact fit you want and never dry those jeans when you wash them. And they only wash them once a year and you're good.
So did you?
But also when you go to the store,
really
realize that they're going to give a little bit.
They just tighten up
from
when
wearing. When you try them on in the store, take into consideration, even if they're just a slight bit snug.
They're going to loosen up.
They're going to loosen up.
Yeah. It's like
breaking in a baseball mitt.
I'm still against the Levi's CEO saying you should never wash them.
I just tweeted the link
hygienically,
out.
I would agree with that.
Listen, but, if you're out, don't go run a marathon in your jeans.
Well, what about
then not wash them? But El Jefe asked, I bet you sweat more on stage doing comedy in your jeans than you do when you're at work, which I said, first of all, I consider both radio and comedy my work. It's my job, so don't differentiate between the two.
Second of all,
no, I mean, I don't sweat in either of them, really. I mean, I may sweat a little bit in my shirt.
Yeah, but when you're on stage,
you know how much you got to be wearing.
Don't those lights add a little?
Yeah, I mean, my shirt will sweat, but my jeans don't sweat. I might get a little underarm sweat. You know where I really get sweat the most? Believe it or not, is in my elbow pit.
That's weird. That's different.
Well, the reason why is if you're holding a microphone, your arm is folded closed, and it's almost
skin on skin.
Yeah, and I've noticed that. I watch videos where I see this elbow pit sweat.
We all know
skin
on skin is friction, and with friction can come chafing.
Look, somebody said you ever heard of a dry cleaner's? No, why the hell would I dry clean my jeans?
Okay, that's the other thing down here that's so disturbing. Dry cleaning your jeans, and then the people that feel like they have to press them was starched to get the
that's the last three texts that we got.
To get like the pleat in them.
Yeah, if anybody's doing that crease thing still, sure. That's ridiculous.
So 713 said, you ever heard of a dry cleaners? 936 said, that's why you go to the cleaners and get them starched.
Yeah. Oh,
and then brutal. Another 713 number said, I dry clean them, never had shrinkage, and it stays the same color. So there you go. And then 409, got to wash your jeans. We live in Texas. Your pill sweat stench is gross. That's from Brother Jed. No, I don't get that sweaty down there. What are you doing? Like, what are you? You know what? Maybe
look
you should puddles. Shave.
Look yeah. puddles. Yeah. Look puddles. The plastic underwear is not helping either. But either way.
You know
puddles.
What? That's a great point. I used to strictly wear Under Armour underwear, which was kind of the fabric.
Right.
Those will cause you some serious funk. Those will really make you have a stinky lap. Like, really?
Well, if it's
anything
like
cotton,
you gotta
cotton.
Go cottony.
Oh, it's so much better. It's not funky. You
go
don't,
to a blend. Cotton yeah. blend. I mean, the thing is, because if you think about it too, just like Raheel was in here, we were talking about basketball shoes, and I said, I will never go away from Nike and go to another brand because I just believe in the quality of and the cushioning of Nike shoes. But at the same time, when you look at like dry fit companies, there's a reason why you can get the knockoff brand or the Academy brand, which is like $5 a shirt, but you smell like Dr. Funk faked the funk on the nasty dunk under your pits in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
As opposed to the real Nike Dry Fit, which lets the air breathe out a lot of the funk and just and weeds wicks the sweat away. Because, man, I'll tell you what, working in the league and it's all NBA sponsored Dry Fit stuff. Man, it's a hot day and you wear some NBA Dry Fit.
Boy.
I'm guaranteeing you within about an hour and a half, you're smelling like the drain at the locker room where the dirty towels are going.
You like do a cup check
it's
and it's
nasty.
Like, ugh.
It's really, good really Lord. Bad.
Yeah. Hey, a couple other texts I wanted to read. Someone said, or someone asked if on New Year's, this was from All Texting, No Tweeting. Barry, did you and your cats get hammered on New Year's with catnip wine? No. First of all, but I did see that stuff does exist. No, I did not.
Nick and I actually talked about it one day before the show.
I did not go drinking with my cats on New Year's. Hey, Joel, I want to say happy birthday to your wife as well today. My niece was born at 7:25 this morning. I really enjoy you guys' show. Keep up the good work this coming year, and I look forward to lots of laughs and good radio. Well, we hope you'll still listen.
And congratulations. Welcome to the world to your niece, and hopefully it's a great world to be in by the time she can figure it out.
Oh, Lord. Man, yeah, this is scary. A couple of Rockets things going back to that. My biggest question about the Rockets is, this is a text from 812. My biggest question about the Rockets is, who are they going to get at trade deadline that won't change the chemistry of the team? Thoughts?
I think one of the ones that I said right from the get-go, depending on what they look for, that's going to be out there, that could be a perfect fit, Tyson Chandler. They need one post defender that can do some things also, you know, offensively, either it's offensive boards, and or get you a bucket down low, even if it's just one.
Mm-hmm.
Tyson Chandler's that kind of guy. He's going to be out there. Phoenix, as we know, is young, wants to get younger. I think that's one guy to keep an eye on.
Why make a move at all? Why do
you
need
why,
to make
Barry?
A move?
Because you still have to get to the negatives, but you know why you make a move?
Why?
Because the regular season and the playoffs are entirely different animals.
That's
why I keep telling you, Houston, enjoy the hell out of your regular season.
This is not
but
your father's NBA, Joel.
Believe me, I just got out of that NBA, and I know what it takes to win in the playoffs, and I'm telling you right now, enjoy the regular season. Become playoff time. I think they're still an element away from being a contender. That's just
okay.
me, and I've said that.
I'm going to give the bad news on the other side of the break, but I wanted to read this text. It says, I run a dry cleaners. Every pair of jeans that gets, quote, dry cleaned is really just washed and not dried and then pressed to get the wrinkles out, which is what I do once a year anyways. Yeah! All right.
Nick,
I feel like I'm sticking it to the man by not paying for
the
dry
thing.
Cleaning.
I'm too lazy to do that.
To the rest of the free world, but we've been first class inducted into every day, which is Barry's right and the rest of you are wrong. And if you don't believe him, he'll tell you so.
Oh, I just read the text.
I understand. No, I mean, no, but then you're saying, this
oh,
is
what, settle down, Joel. I don't always think I'm right.
No, but you're never wrong.
No, that's not true. That's not true. Your boy pointed out the fact that I said Harden's assist would go down and they didn't.
Oh, no. Was that the one with the Capella? That was brutal. I actually came to your defense on that
did
one.
You?
That was yeah, yeah. That guy was kind of a tool, yeah. too. He's going. He's not quite your boy from OU, but close. All right, we're at the halfway mark. Half in the books, half to go. The good first half should be followed up by a solid second half. But as Barry teased earlier, you talk about all the good with the Rockets. There is some bad. Let's talk about the schedule. Let's talk about things that you guys want to talk about. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
So if you guys caught LeBron's new game show, he's the executive producer of that, it's like Plinko-type game show where they drop the balls from the top of the board. And
I thought it was like Find My Hairline.
Oh, he found it, all right. A surgeon found it. That's why the headbands are back to normal size. Yeah. They're not do-rags with the top cut off anymore. Terry cloth do-rags. They're actually back to normal size because he found a surgeon that could to tighten him up. But he did this game. He does this game show, and I forget what it's called, but it was on from like 9 to 10 last night. If you wanted to jump out of the gates and really build some fan base, man, the premise is you and your significant, you and a partner play, right?
Uh-huh.
She's secluded, okay? And then they ask you questions. And based on how many you get right, you get the option of dropping the ball from the top of the Plinko board, and it can either get to, at the bottom, you know, $1, $10, and there's a million, there's a lot of big dollar figures.
Uh-huh.
And the final couple of the night, he does this thing where he can do three balls at once. So he does three balls at once, and they tally 1.35 mil. He's got a credit of 1.34 mil. And they get the question wrong.
Oh, God.
So they go, so we're not going to let you leave empty-handed because we're going to send, so it's like, you know, the bank teller with the little thing that goes up the chute.
Right.
And you can send. So he goes, so here's what we're going to do. Your wife's still in seclusion. So we're going to send her a contract right now that says, even though you basically pissed away everything, we're going to send her a contract that says, we'll give you, because you got four out of the six questions we asked right, we'll give you $20,000 for each one of those and some extra dollars. So we're going to give you $115,000. Send her a contract. If she signs it, not knowing what you've done or not done out here, you guys get the $115,000. If she sends it back ripped up, you go home with nothing. And she starts going, well, you know, he's the risk taker and he always goes over the top. And, you know, I don't know. But I mean, I really believe he's a smart guy. So I know he probably won way more than this. But I mean, I think, you know, in my heart, and she hems and haws. And it comes back with like 2 minutes before news time at like 9:58. And she tore the thing up.
Oh.
And you're just like, oh, kicking the grapes with a steel-toed work boot. That's not going to work out for you.
Wow,
I'm like,
horrible.
That's not the first night of the show the way you want. You want the big success, and everybody's like, man, this show's awesome. And they're winning big-time dollars. Not so much.
Wow. So, but they're going to fight as a couple.
Oh, man. They acted really well on stage, and he's like an ex-military guy. And even the host was like, here's people that gave service to the military and gave to their country, and now they're giving to each other on a regular basis. I go, and believe me, when the credits roll, they're going to be giving each other hell behind stage.
So was Plinko your favorite Price is Right game? Was that your
no?
No, which
really.
One?
I don't have
what
a
was
favorite.
Your favorite? Everyone has their favorite.
I'm trying
Everyone
to remember.
Has that one where you were like, oh, I can't miss this. Was it the Swiss Mountain guy?
That was always a good one,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
What was the one with the chips? You had like you put chips in, and I don't remember what that was either. There was the dice.
The dice was, game. Yeah,
yeah. I
Some
think
of
Plinko
them like,
was my joint, though. I really do. I think Plinko.
A lot
that
of
was,
people
that
love
was my jam. Like yeah. That was the one that you, there's the Plinko boy. They'd roll it out.
You going to go buy a Toyota now?
No, I'm not.
You going to walk in and go, because that's the 90s were your jam?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can go meet Jan.
I was a 90s kid.
All right, so break it down.
Bad
people
news.
Have been waiting for
yeah,
the bad news.
The bad news. So we're all excited about the Rockets. We're all pumped up. Let me read you their losses, and you tell me what you think about this. You tell me if there's a pattern here. So obviously we start with the Lakers. Okay. They lost to the Lakers. Then they lost to the Cavs. And then their third loss was to the Hawks. Their fourth loss was to the Spurs. Fifth loss was to the Thunder. Sixth to the Raptors. Seventh to the Jazz. Eighth to the Spurs. And ninth to the Grizzlies. Now, if I read you that, what is your thoughts on the games that they're winning and the games that they're losing?
They're still struggling with the more competitive teams.
Yeah, I would say so. And I think we, Joel, you and I, yep, owe Nick an apology and some kudos. Because coming out of the Minnesota game, when it was San Antonio, Phoenix, Memphis, Phoenix, and Dallas, you know, we talked about Phoenix, and we thought that they may play better.
I think it was after the San Antonio game, because the streak was over, but we looked at the next 10 to 12 games.
Well, and five in particular is what I think Nick brought up. And he said, you know, what's really going to matter is how they play against the Spurs and how they play against Memphis. And they lost both of those.
Right.
And I think that speaks volumes. As excited as we are, it can speak volumes about what this team is and isn't doing, who they are and aren't beating. Come playoff time, Joel, like you've been saying, you know, can they handle these teams? Now, I disagree with you in the fact that I don't think this is a slow-it-down league anymore. I mean, sure, there are teams that are going to play that way, a la San Antonio. But at the same time, there's teams like Golden State that don't slow it down. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, they're going to be fine, but they're going to have to win some of these games. They play Oklahoma City coming up on Thursday the 5th. They need to win that game. Two games from now on the 8th, they play the Toronto Raptors. They need to win that game. They need to start. And I'm fine if they lose to the Magic.
And you know, bring up that game?
If they drop the Magic in between, I'm good with that as long as they can beat the Thunder and or the Raptors.
You're good with losing to the Magic?
Because it's going to happen. You're going to lose to some bad teams. They lost to the Lakers to start
the
season.
You bring up the Toronto game.
But I would much rather see them beat a team that's good right now.
You talk about the house of horrors for the Rockets. It's going to Toronto over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. Kind of lowering. Yeah, I want to see that for a lot of reasons. I want to see how they play against a really good team in a place they haven't played very well at all. And then the other thing is everybody's going to bill it as Westbrook and Harden and a battle for MVP, this Oklahoma City game.
And it is.
You got to watch the game within the game. It's going to be a Rockets team that's basically been in control against OKC all year, but found a way to lose one they should have won, and then basically hung on by the skin of their teeth to win the other one. This is going to be a game where they have to close the team out. They have to show that they can do the necessary things as a unit on both ends of the floor, and they have to show that, look, regardless of the MVP discussion, the better team, therefore, the guy that means more to wins and losses for his team is James Harden. But they do that by how they play as a team, not just watching what the two guys up front do.
Okay.
So that's something I'm going to watch in that game.
Trey tweeted and said Rat Race was his favorite. That's not a Juggalo or Juggalo, Trey.
Yeah, but he also said the LeBron game show is called The Wall.
Yeah, but he said Rat Race. Do you remember Rat Race?
I don't know if I remember that one.
No, I remember the horses. Didn't they have the horses that raced as well?
Yeah.
Like based on the things
the really
that you did.
Bad fake horse race.
Yeah. But I don't remember Rat Race. Somebody tweeted in, said they're listening, or texted in. They're listening on the app. Any reason the entire Family Matters theme played during a commercial break?
Because probably one of Raheel's spots was outdated and they didn't know what else to do.
They
so
just played
instead
Family
of
Matters.
Playing something about a dog and a bone and checking your testosterone level, they just played the theme from Family Matters.
Nice. I like it.
Oh, you know why? Because we were running an Alan Thicke commercial after Alan passed away, so therefore they're making good on it by playing the theme for a week.
That was creepy.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. The day he passed away, we were still running Alan Thicke.
We're in a break, and that was weird. He passed away, and we hear, "Hello, friends, I'm Alan Thicke." And I went, one, no, you're not anymore, and what, two, what are we doing running that thing?
No, like, you're not anymore.
Not anymore.
You know?
It's brutal.
But it's true. I mean, I'm just like, come on, what are we doing?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, and you're playing Magic because Barry said a loss to the Magic wouldn't matter? I'm just giving you more credit than you deserve.
Yeah, you are.
Magic.
Yeah. Very much.
What?
The Orlando Magic, like a loss to the
Magic. Yeah, what is this? Magic.
The song.
The Magic and Me.
Oh, I had no idea that that's what this was called.
I picked it up.
Look at you.
Yeah, you got to play this kind of music when you're competing with other FM stations on the dial, Nick. Way to go.
You're hip to all the young songs.
Hey, come on.
Look at you,
Jesus,
Joe.
I'm not ready for AARP yet. Good load. See, now you're already getting it. ML Griffin says, they also beat the Spurs, Warriors, Boston, OKC. You know
sure
what?
They did.
Get it, but overall.
But look at their nine losses. Now, you could look at those nine losses on the flip side, and to your point, Joel, that you've made all year, at least they're beating the teams they're supposed to beat.
Yep, because that's what they really struggled with.
What if those nine
that's
losses?
Why I know, that's why I lost to the Magic. I'm okay with too, Joel, because they've shown that they can beat a team like the Magic.
That's right.
That's the only reason why. Not if they continue to lose to the Magic, like a lot, maybe.
I want to win against, I want them to beat the Thunder, lose to the Magic, and beat the Raptors. I would be so happy with that.
Yeah, I think you're gonna get the
opposite,
the flip with the Raptors game. I've been there, done that, seen that they don't play well in Toronto. The thing is, too, anytime that Toronto game is almost always going to be an early start time on the weekend. I didn't look at the schedule this week to see what day of the week, but the Rockets, like in the last 5-6 years, have played almost all those games pre noon Eastern time. On like a Saturday or
Toronto?
Sunday. Yeah, and they just, it's just.
It's Sunday at 6 p.m.
Oh, at least it's 6 p.m. Normally it's a Sunday or a Saturday at like noon Eastern, which is 11 Central, and they come in with their clocks all screwed up. The custom screws them up, and then they just crap the bed. So at least maybe the later start time gives them a chance. But I just think that they can beat Orlando. Toronto's going to be a tough test. So we'll see. Hey, the good news is we're talking about them in the context of a team on the cusp of being a contender and all the things that they're doing. So that's a lot better than talking about where they were a year ago at this time and all the problems they had and all the lines drawn in the sand. If you guys want to chime in, let us know. We got a lot more to talk about. We've got the college football playoffs, in case anybody missed them or cared. We're not very competitive, but we at least know the top two teams left remaining standing and taking on each other. And by the way, you should be familiar with them because it's the same teams from a year ago. So we'll talk about that. And we can talk about a lot more in terms of Lane Kiffin, Wade Phillips.
Brent Musburger.
A Clemson lineman to get himself a handful to start the new year. And much more. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4 as we continue to roll on a new year, post-holiday edition of the show. We've talked Rockets, we talked Texans, we talked about a bunch of other things, including Mr. Clean Jeans, and we're rolling along.
Well, and everyone keeps bringing up the fact that, oh, the Rockets beat the Warriors, the Rockets beat the Spurs. I know. I'm just looking at the fact that of their 9 losses, 8 of them are to upper echelon teams in the NBA.
And Which is a fair point.
It's weird to say, but I'd like to see some average teams sprinkled in there to know that they're beating some of these upper echelon teams more often than they're losing
to them.
It's
also the point why I keep trying to make to people that also have issues with other things. Don't start worrying about the playoffs and judging this team until after the trade deadline. Paul Millsap is now out there. They're talking about the Raptors as a suitor for Paul Millsap. I'm telling you right now, if you take DeRozan, Lowry, and the roster they have, and you don't have to tinker with it much, and you add Paul Millsap to a very, very solid Eastern Conference finalist of a year ago, there's a team that's going to be more of a contender. The same thing could happen in the Western Conference. A team on the cusp or borderline getting ready to compete for a championship could end up attaining a player. It could be Golden State for all we know. It could be the Clippers. Clippers could sell out. El Jefe saying, well, if the Clippers continue to lose, Chris Paul will be traded. Could he go to the Spurs? No, Chris Paul's not going anywhere, okay? But I'm talking about guys that there are impactful players out there that we might not even know are available. But if they end up in the wrong hands, it could screw the whole thing up for Rockets fans. So enjoy the regular season. Enjoy the ride. And like I said, that's why I wouldn't pass judgment on this team for the playoffs till I know what roster they're going to battle with come postseason time. So let's get past the trade deadline. Let's see what they got. And then we'll see. We'll go from there. But in the meantime, talk about and enjoy the team that you have right now and the fact that it's so much night and day better to talk about a team like this doing what they're doing than the constant as the Rockets turns with Dwight Howard and James Harden.
Agree.
100%.
Now let's move on. And now, real quick, Mike, the commish on Twitter, said they're also playing the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme on the stream as well. Nick, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, I got nothing. No idea. I can't explain that one.
What is your problem with the stream?
I don't know what buttons to push.
That could be in honor of Mike Pearson, who left to go back to Cali and to Hollywood. So the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air heading back to Cali for Mike. Possibly. Yeah,
very well could be.
How about that? Mike a little shout out. Okay, let's switch gears a little bit to what we haven't talked about yet, which was a long weekend for us, and we hadn't had a chance to kibitz and get back together and kind of go over and assess what we've seen. The two college football playoff games, both dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, safe to say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very disappointing. I was very fired up when Washington scored on Alabama right away in the first quarter and thought, hey, we might at least have a ball game on our hands, and then we didn't.
Yeah, I kind of thought the same thing as
well. And then Ohio State not only peed the bed, but rolled around in it and decided to crap themselves as well and just make one doo-doo fest in the bed. I'm not an Urban Meyer fan. And from a playoff perspective, the way Penn State played USC told me they may have got it wrong. The wrong team might have been in the Final Four because Penn State put up one hell of an effort. I don't think it was one of the greatest college football games of all time. I don't think it trumps SC Texas for the national title with Vince Young.
Well, what makes you think – hold on. You're saying that they got it wrong. Are you just saying because Ohio State didn't score?
They just looked terrible.
Yeah, well, they also weren't playing the number 9 team in the nation. They were playing the number 2 team in the nation.
I get that, but I'm just saying.
Now, I'm not saying Penn State doesn't score against Clemson. As well as Clemson played, I don't know anyone other than Alabama in the nation beats them the way they play.
Let me say this.
Penn State lost,
by the
way.
For the skeptics and the people that are out there to be critical of the system or question the system who said that you had to win your conference and the conference championship as well as be it, you know, one of the top 4 to get in, and the fact that if there was a head-to-head game and you won that game, maybe you should be in there. That just adds fuel to that fire because Penn State looked very competitive and like a very good football team. I saw an Ohio State team I don't think I ever thought I'd see under Urban Meyer. I saw at one point JT Barrett went behind center, and before he even started calling audibles in the shotgun, he started cussing because of the last play. And they just looked like they were unraveling right in front of our eyes. That's not the same team that I saw from Ohio State. That's not the team that the committee wanted to see in the Final Four. But look, Clemson showed, and based on the early point spreads coming out for this game, Clemson showed they belong and that the rematch is no fluke. And a lot of people are saying Clemson, they think Clemson could pull this thing off. That would be the story because everybody, for the most part, thought going into this thing, Alabama was just going to have a cakewalk. Looks like we might have a game, hopefully, in the national championship game.
You know, speaking of being wrong, I was really wrong about going with my thoughts. I really thought that Ohio State would have the best opportunity to beat Alabama. And I know that people thought Washington may have the best opportunity to beat Alabama because of the style of offense that they run. And I don't know that anyone ever thought, oh, well, Clemson is definitely the team to give Alabama the best run for their money. At least I never heard it mentioned. And you know what? It turns out that's exactly what it is. I mean, it looks like that for all the grief that the playoff committee took, they got it right because number one is playing number two. And it looks like it looks to be a really good game again.
Yeah, I agree. And look, I hope for the sake of
at the end of the day, that's all I care about. I'm sorry.
See,
that's all I care about. It's just that the two best teams play each other.
Lisa's mom was talking to me about this, and we're watching these college games. And she said, now, I know the passion that you have for the Badgers and the Packers. Wouldn't you rather see a competitive game? And I said, absolutely not. If it's my team's playing, I want to be able to breathe the entire game and know that they're in complete control, they're going to win the game. But if I'm a fan watching a national championship game and I don't have a dog in the fight, I don't have a horse in the race, and I'm watching it, I want to watch USC Penn State. I want to see a game that is exciting, that is well played, that is competitive, that can change on the drop of a dime like it did last night with the two different juggled balls that go up in the air, and one.
Whoa, whoa.
Yeah, exactly. One is the bomb that gets juggled, and Penn State catches it for the touchdown. Then the interception, in which three different defenders and everybody's bobbling around, and all of a sudden he picks it off. Changed the entire complexion of the game. But that's the kind of game I want to see in a national championship game, unless I've got one of my teams involved in it. And that's what you love watching as a sports fan. Yeah. I mean, even when you're watching the baseball playoffs, if the Astros aren't in, you want good, competitive, really exciting games. That's what you got in the Rose Bowl. That's what you didn't get in the Final Four, but hopefully you'll get in the national championship game. Because look, Clemson's defense, everybody talks about Deshaun Watson and the offense of Clemson and the fact that they maintained keeping everybody around at back and were competitive all year. Man, I'll tell you what, their defense impressed the hell out of me.
It really did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked good. And
that's when the ball was in play, I should say. I'm not going to say about impressing me when the play was stopped.
You talking about the old up and under? What was his name?
The doorbell ringer.
The
oil change.
Christian
checker,
Wilkins.
Christian Wilkins.
Mr. Gropey Grope.
Who likes to refer to himself, by the way.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm going to share this with you because this adds to the fuel of the fire,
the
so
South
to speak.
Side Strangler.
No.
No.
No, but if you want to keep trying, I'll let you go.
The rustler of Jimmy's.
It gets better.
Okay, what is it?
He calls himself the big, happy people pleaser.
Wow.
Oh,
well, it certainly is.
Might if I ring your doorbell and check your oil, sir?
Yeah.
If you missed it, we'll talk about it next. But quite the eye-opener in more ways than one in the Clemson-Ohio State game as part of the Clemson defense when they weren't necessarily needing to be on offense. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.